This is the second audio, a continuation of hypnotic methods. Number 24 is the Pygmalion effect. The Pygmalion effect, or more commonly known as the teacher expectancy effect, refers to situations where students perform better than other students simply because they are expected to do so. The Pygmalion effect requires a student to internalize the expectations of their superiors. It's a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. And in this respect, students with poor expectations internalize their negative label, and those with positive labels succeed accordingly. Studies conducted found that if a teacher were to expect superior performance from certain students, then the students would indeed show this superior improvement. In some cases, such improvement was about double the other children in the same class. This same effect can also be applied to racism. The Pygmalion effect can also result from racial expectation, as seen during the Jane Elliott's blue-eyed versus brown-eyed discrimination exercise, where third graders were divided into groups based on their eye color. One group was given preference and regarded as superior because of their eye color, with the other group repeatedly being considered as inferior in intelligence and learning ability. On the second day of the experiment, the groups were completely reversed, with those who were oppressed against one day being regarded as superior the next. Elliott gave spelling tests to both groups on each day of the experiment. The students scored very low on the day they were racially inferior, and very high on the day they were considered racially superior. Elliott, as a result of her test, was quoted as saying, "How we believe the world is and what we honestly think it can become have powerful effects on how things turn out." Number 25, regression. Regression can be to an earlier state of life, as in the case of present life regression, or a reversion to a state of being as in a past life regression. The key element is reversion, and the catalyst are memory and imagination. Present life regression only needs to be conducted in the alpha brainwave state, as it only requires remembering, and alpha is where memories are stored. In order to get to alpha, all you need to do is close your eyes and relax. Past life regression is also a state of remembering. However, it requires that the subject be a little more relaxed and use their imagination. It's important, while in this state, not to question their imagination and simply allow it to go where it wants to. Imagination is the guide and the active ingredient in any spiritual or holistic travel. In one of the upcoming lessons, you'll be learning quite a bit more about past life regression. Also, your manual has a lot of information on both regression and past life regression techniques at the end of the chapter on healing. Number 26, relaxation. We have already covered this one in a previous lesson. Relaxation is probably the most commonly known technique to induce a hypnotic state. This is what the majority of clinical hypnotherapists utilize on their clients within their offices. The most commonly used technique is called the progressive relaxation technique. Number 27. Self-hypnosis is a form of auto-suggestion in which the individual trains their subconscious mind to believe or accept specific suggestions for a certain purpose. This is usually accomplished through various methods including repetition, self-affirmations, imagination training, and even prayer. Self-hypnosis is a wonderful tool for change that you can conduct virtually anywhere. It is important to realize that all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. In other words, whenever you are hypnotizing someone else, if you are listening to the suggestions and accepting them, you are also benefiting from them as well. Self-hypnosis does not require you to be in a deep level of relaxation, recite repetitive mantras, or spend hours in meditation, even though all three of those are forms of self-hypnosis. You can conduct self-hypnosis lying down, standing up, while walking, with your eyes closed, with your eyes opened, or even in a room full of people. The various methods are as creative as your imagination. Number 28, shock ordeals hypnosis. While this is another of Milton Erickson's indirect hypnotic techniques, it tends to get less attention than his others because as healers or helpers of people, we are not really comfortable with the concept. It involves shocking the client in an unexpected way while they are experiencing their stress, fear, or even pain, so as to take their mind off of the fear and focus it elsewhere. Here's a story that explains this concept about one of Erickson's patients in his words. While listening to it, think of any times in your life that you may have experienced something similar. An older client asked if he could be helped for his fear of riding in an elevator. I told him I could probably scare the pants off him in another direction. He told me that nothing could be worse than his fear of an elevator. The elevator in this particular building was operated by young girls, and I made special arrangements with one of them in advance. She agreed to cooperate and thought it would be fun. I went with the gentleman to the elevator. He wasn't afraid of walking into the elevator, but when it started to move, it became an unbearable experience. So I chose an unbusy time, and I had him walk in and out of the elevator, back in and out. Then, at a point when we walked in, I told the girl to close the door and said, "Let's go up." So we went up one story and stopped in between floors. The gentleman started to yell, "What's wrong?" I said, "The elevator operator wants to kiss you." Shocked, the gentleman said, "But I'm a married man." The girl said, "I don't mind that." She walked towards him, and he stepped back and said, "You start the elevator." So she started it. She went up to about the fourth floor and stopped it again between floors. She said, "I just have a craving for a kiss." He said, "You go about your business." He wanted the elevator moving and not standing still. She replied, "Well, let's go down and start all over again." And she began to take the elevator down. He said, "Not down, up," since he didn't want to go through that whole thing all over again. She started up and then stopped the elevator between floors and said, "Do you promise you'll ride down in my elevator with me when you're through work?" He said, "I'll promise anything if you promise not to kiss me." He went up in the elevator, relieved and without fear. As for the elevator, he could ride one from then on. Number 29, sleep hypnosis. Sleep hypnosis is a wonderful technique that can be very effective in dealing with young children or others that may have difficulty accepting suggestion in other forms. Even though it is called sleep hypnosis, it does not take place while in the sleep state. It is simply called sleep hypnosis because the subject is usually asleep before the practice is instituted. So obviously this isn't something that you would conduct in your office. It's something you would probably conduct on your children at home, or in many cases I've instructed my clients how to do it with their children. Make sure you go over the rules clearly before you have them do it. Simply put, when the subject is soundly asleep, the person conducting the sleep hypnosis would calmly begin to wake the subject to a point which is known as the hypnagogic state. This is a state between sleep and wakefulness, also known as the theta brainwave state. It is a state where a person usually just falls off to sleep, where they are very receptive to suggestions, where the rebelliousness of the conscious mind is gone, and where great success can take place in the way of positive change. Sleep hypnosis can be very effective on children in the areas of bedwetting, nail biting, confidence, and self-esteem, just to name a few. You will find more details about this technique in Chapter 19 of your manual. Subliminals. The term subliminal means hidden beneath a threshold of normal senses. It comes from the Latin word sub, which means under, and limen, which means threshold. Subliminal suggestions are messages that are hidden within another source, such as music, voices, videos, or background noises, that are designed to be accepted by the subconscious mind, but not the conscious. They are a form of covert hypnotic suggestion. What I mean by covert is a sneaky way or undetected way to get past the conscious mind. It is similar to how an airplane can fly so low over the surface of the ocean that it covertly evades the radar of the organization trying to detect it. It got past undetected, similar to how a subliminal message can get past the conscious mind undetected. There has been much controversy throughout the years on the validity or effectiveness of subliminal programming, as it has been supposedly used in advertising, military conditioning by the government, on television, and even in the movies. In fact, presently, the country of Australia has banned the use of subliminals. Most countries that do allow subliminals require that somewhere on the label of the product it states that subliminals are being used for the protection of the client purposes. Number 31, meditation. Meditation is a holistic discipline where the practitioner practices going beyond the thinking mind or conscious mind into a deeper state of relaxation. This deeper relaxation can range anywhere from alpha to the delta brainwave state and occasionally even further. It's a discipline that has been used for both spiritual and non-spiritual purposes by both religious and non-religious practitioners. It is most widely used to achieve a higher state of consciousness so as to increase guidance, loving-kindness, self-awareness, focus, and merely to create a more peaceful frame of mind. Even though meditation is a form of hypnosis, it does differ slightly from traditional hypnosis, as the main purpose of meditation is to clear the mind and to tone out outside distractions, where hypnosis is more of a guided process where the subject is following the instructions of the practitioner. Understanding the concept of meditation and possibly even including it within your hypnosis sessions or practice can greatly enhance the relaxation and overall well-being of your clients. You will find a script in Chapter 20 of your hypnosis manual titled The Mighty Oak Tree that incorporates an ancient form of meditation within the relaxation process. This allows a practitioner to use the script on either an analytical or non-analytical client with great success. Number 32 is propaganda. The propaganda method, also known as the education method, is a specific type of message or presentation designed to shape perceptions and to manipulate direct behavior to achieve a response that furthers the desired intent and specific agenda of the person or organization delivering it. Propaganda is used continually in the fields of advertising and public relations. This type of propaganda is used to promote commercial products. Each product delivers the propaganda of what makes them better than any other. They do so by delivering partial truths, overinflated claims, and purposely omitting certain facts. It's interesting and even comical to watch television commercials on medications and especially the automotive industry. They make many of their propaganda-type claims during the commercial, and while using their very effective forms of misdirection in the video part of the commercial, to the side or maybe spoken in lower tones, they are able to use a disclaimer that denies all the claims of the benefits that they made during the commercial. That's also the purpose of the fine print that you see at the bottom of the commercial. Sometimes it's so small that you can't even see it. As long as they are written or narrated within the commercial, then they are within their legal rights, even if the public does not have the time to see them or is usually unable to hear them. Propaganda has been traditionally used quite successfully in political campaigns, leaflets, and in television and radio broadcasts. It is used by the government, the military, the education industry, the medical industry, by sports, religion, every form of sales, and virtually anything else that someone can benefit from by coercing you in some way. You can truly say that it is hypnosis programming and suggestion at its best. Take some time to think about how you can possibly use propaganda as a means of helping your business. Chances are, if you are running a successful hypnosis business, you are most likely using some form of propaganda, possibly even unknowingly. Number 33, writing. Writing is a procedure that is both extremely hypnotic as well as beneficial in many areas because it gives you the opportunity to think things through in detail before acting. Many times in life, people have what they think is a wonderful plan and simply jump into it without thinking, just to find that it was not well thought out and ultimately fail. By writing things down, your thought process needs to be more complete to know what to write. In order to write things that make sense, they have to be thought out. Many times when thoughts are put down on paper, you can then see things that you did not see before. Writing things on paper can also be a great technique to release anger or frustration. Just as an exercise, the next time you find yourself angry with someone who wronged you in some way, whether it be in a financial transaction or even on the internet, rather than retaliating or being angry with them, take the time to write a letter first. In the letter, detail everything that they did that upsets you and exactly how you feel about it. Take the time to write exactly what you'd like to tell this person, regardless of how rude or negative it may seem. You'll find that as you are writing the letter, you are beginning to feel better as you are venting the anger or frustration you initially felt. Once you have completed the letter, you will find that you have completely described how you're feeling and able to let it go. Now here's the most important step. Do not mail the letter. Simply destroy the letter and go about your business. You'll feel better in the long run rather than having to deal with the negativity of retaliation. Writing has the ability to affect you at a very deep level. Even in the earlier grades in school, students are made to write things on the board repeatedly as a way to remember them, or maybe even for punishment. Many people even write a long list before they go grocery shopping so as to not forget. However, many times the list does not even have to be referred to, since the process of writing helps to ingrain the items in your memory. How can writing help you as a practitioner? When you're dealing with a client and are not exactly sure what they want or are expecting, ask them to take some time as an assignment during the week to sit, contemplate, and actually write out a list of their desires or expectations. This also works great for making a list of both your short-term and long-term goals. In working with people for success coaching, I often say that if you do not have your goals written down, then you really do not have clearly defined goals. They are merely wishful thoughts. You'll find in a later lesson that repetition is the key to creating permanent habits. You'll find that anything repeated on a daily basis for a minimum of 21 days will actually reroute your neural connections and biologically become part of your newly changed self-image. If you think of all the habits that you presently have today, the ones that you do automatically without having to think about, you will find that these habits or traits are developed through repetition. Habits such as the way you brush your teeth, the way you comb your hair, The process of getting dressed in the morning. What clothing you put on first or second. The side of the bed you sleep on. The route you drive to work each day. The times of day that you usually drink coffee, or even the types of coffee you choose to drink. Many of the things that you say, and possibly even the way that you greet people, are all habits that you have developed through repetition. Many of your personal preferences were developed the same way, as a result of your parents and the environment you grew up in. Why do you prefer living in a certain country? Do you feel your religion, political affiliation, or even choice of sports teams are better than anyone else's? As you grew up, you were constantly hearing, observing, and possibly even experiencing the preferences of your family, friends, and environment on a repetitious basis. In so doing, you developed many of the same preferences as those you have been surrounded by. Repetition builds habit. Habit builds faith, which turns into belief, which eventually becomes fact or truth. There's a slogan that I am quite fond of that states, "Life is like a three-edged sword. There's your opinion, there's my opinion, and there's the truth." In life, everything is based on perception. This perception is developed by your environment, upbringing, and decisions made in reference to your past programming. You can see this continually in any type of disagreement, whether it be in the areas of politics, religion, war, ethics, and the list is virtually endless. Both sides of the argument believe they're right. And the amazing thing is that both sides are right because it's their perception of the conclusion that they have derived from their individual reality, from their own past conditioning. Just as repetition had been used to develop the habits which became your perceptions, beliefs, and faith, this same repetition process can be used to change them or develop replacement habits. This is the end of this audio. Thank you.